Hey guys, I'd like to introduce you to a new podcast that I know you're going to love. Do you like travel? Do you like picturesque locations and getting away from it all? Well, this new podcast has all that and murder. It's called Slaycation, and it's a darkly humorous look at murders and mysterious deaths that took place on vacation. Hosted by a true crime fanatic, her comedy writer husband, and his TV producing partner, Slaycation brings a unique perspective to chilling, thrilling, and WTF stories of vacations gone horribly wrong. From the twisted tale of Harold and Tony Henthorne, whose romantic anniversary in the Rocky Mountains ended with one of them falling off a cliff, to Angelica and Vincent, two recently engaged lovebirds whose Hudson Valley kayaking adventure ended underwater. Each episode of Slaycation will have you asking, accident or murder? But it's not just the stories that'll intrigue you. It's the discussion between a longtime married couple and business partners who happen to be Emmy-nominated TV producers. Each episode of Slaycation also includes humor, takeaway and travel tips that will keep your next vacation from being your last. If you're ready to pack your body bags, Slaycation is available on all major podcast platforms. Search for Slaycation on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey everyone, I wanted to give you a heads up that the highly anticipated second season of the hit podcast Proof is finally here. So if you're looking for more true crime content, go check it out because Proof is an awesome investigative true crime podcast co-hosted by Susan Simpson of Undisclosed and Jacinda Davis of Evil Lives Here. Proof made headlines for its first season in 2022 after proving the innocence of two Georgia men serving life sentences for murdering their friend Brian Bowling when they were just 17 years old. And 25 years later, on December 8th of 2022, both men were finally freed, all based on evidence unearthed by Proof. Now in the second season of Proof, Murder at the Warehouse, Susan and Jacinda are on the case again, this time traveling to the streets of Manteca, California to uncover who really murdered 18-year-old Renee Ramos. On June 5th of 2000, Ramos's body was found buried under a pile of debris inside the shell of a new Home Depot building. Despite tips hinting at alternate suspects, tips that were ignored until now, Renee's boyfriend, 18-year-old skateboarder Jake Silva, and Ty Lopez, the 33-year-old uncle of one of Jake's close friends, were arrested and convicted of her murder. Fans of true crime and investigative series won't want to miss this riveting new season and follow the case as Susan and Jacinda uncover long-overlooked evidence about what really happened to Renee by listening to Proof, Murder at the Warehouse, wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to Twisted News, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in. Today, we're looking at a very interesting case of how to cover up a murder in today's digital world, at least for a little while. And then, it's down to the Caribbean to learn about the tragic hijacking of an American couple's yacht. Get ready for Scary Mysteries, Twisted News. Number 1. The Digital Ghost Story. In the modern world, it's becoming harder and harder to get away with murder. There's surveillance cameras everywhere, GPS on our phones, and DNA evidence can be found in the smallest of places. But one advantage of all our technological advancements in terms of getting away with such a heinous crime is that now, someone who has passed on can appear to be alive if somebody knows their passwords. In 2012, David Krupa from Omaha, Nebraska had recently broken things off with his longtime girlfriend, whom he shared two children with. The new bachelor eventually hit up the dating apps where he met a single mother and Liz Golier, and the two hit it off and had a few casual dates. David was working as a mechanic at the time when a lady by the name of Carrie Favor came in looking to have some work done on her car. She was a pretty 37-year-old single mother. And according to David, as soon as they talked, there were sparks right away. He asked her if she wanted to go out with him sometime, and she said yes, Since David was playing the field at this point and had explained to Liz early on that he didn't want anything serious, he broke things off with her. And after their first successful date, Kerry then went back to David's house. And that's when the first weird interaction occurred. But things would get much weirder and much darker shortly after that. While she was leaving, she ran into none other than David's ex, Liz, right at the front door, who was stopping by, unannounced no less, to pick up some things. It was awkward for all the parties involved, but Kerry looked past it and over the next few weeks began seeing more and more of David. On the morning of November 13th, David kissed Kerry goodbye before she headed to work. She had been spending a few nights in a row there since it was much closer to her job she was working on. And that night, David received a text from Kerry saying that she wanted to move in more permanently, to which David politely said no. After all, they had both talked about keeping it casual and were okay with that. The text then that David got back said, "Fine, I don't ever want to see you again. Go away. I'm dating somebody else. I hate you." And so, in David's eyes, it was over. Not long after that, Kerry's mother received a text saying that she had moved to Kansas for a new job and would make arrangements to pick up her son Max, but she never did that. And over the next several months, Kerry continued to talk to her family via email and text, but she missed all the important in-person events in her family's life. All the holidays, Max's 15th birthday, a wedding. David's ex Liz then started receiving terrifying and threatening texts from Kerry, claiming that she was going to hurt her. When she brought this up to David, he also said he was getting the same weird stuff. David said Kerry was stalking him, even mentioning certain clothes he was wearing at the exact time he was getting the messages. Liz and David talked a lot about this, but got to the point when he finally had to change his number altogether. Essentially, for 3 years, this whole thing went on. When Kerry missed her dad's funeral, that was the final straw for her mom, who knew something was terribly wrong and needed the authorities to take it seriously. And so, in early 2015, detectives Jim Doughty and Ryan Davis dug into tracking down Kerry. And what they found was utterly shocking. Working backwards, they went on to find her car abandoned in Omaha, but there was no sign of Kerry still. Now, her bank accounts had remained untouched, and so they went back to the last time they were, November of 2012. And that's when they found the love triangle and discovered that Kerry Faber did not send those messages or emails at all. The person behind them had been Liz all along. Driven by jealousy and a desire to have David all to herself, Liz had not only murdered Kerry, but had also assumed her identity in the digital world. For years, Liz orchestrated the elaborate charade, impersonating Kerry through social media, thousands of text messages, manipulating those around her to believe that Kerry was still alive, but had chosen to disappear. And further digging revealed chilling evidence of Liz's guilt as well, including photographs of the decomposing body of Kerry on her tablet, which she claimed to have received from David in an attempt to shift blame on him. But it didn't work. In 2017, Liz had all the evidence stacked against her and was convicted of first-degree murder. And for that, she was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. She fooled everyone for a long time, but eventually, the impersonation game caught up with her. Number 2. Tragic Voyage of the SV Simplicity. Kathy Brandel and Ralph Hendry were living a life most people could only dream of. Having been married for over 2 decades and living in Alexandria, Virginia, the two decided to sell their home in order to purchase their yacht named the SV Simplicity and spend their time traveling up and down the East Coast, pulling into docks to experience different places and enjoy their golden years together. At 71 years old, Kathy was a retired real estate agent, and Ralph chose to still work remotely as a financial advisor as they traveled to many different places. They love the open ocean, and in early 2024, as winter set in, they decided to head on down to the Caribbean for some warmer weather and new adventures together. On February 19th, a man was paddleboarding in St. Vincent when he came upon the Simplicity anchored in the waters offshore. He was a sailing captain himself and could see that it looked like it had been ransacked and then abandoned. There were clothes and other items strewn about, and so he jumped on board to take a closer look. It was then that he noticed several bloodstains on the deck. He took some photos with his phone to tell the authorities, but he also found an email address to the Salty Dog Sailing Association that had been written down, and if there were an emergency, he wanted all hands on deck, so he emailed them saying, "The ship is very messy. Can you contact them?" They unfortunately tried, but couldn't. The day prior, you see, was the last time anyone had seen the couple alive. The people they were docked next to in nearby Grenada had seen them, but after that, the couple had ceased all communications with their children back home and with anybody for that matter. An investigation was launched, and clearly some sort of violence broke out on that boat, and there were fears that the couple may not have survived. As it turned out, three inmates at a jail in Grenada, Trayvon Robertson, Abita Stanislaus, and Ron Mitchell, who was a sailor himself, had recently escaped from jail. A manhunt was underway, and 2 days later, the trio were discovered on the island of St. Vincent and were apprehended. They had signs of injuries on them, and putting all the pieces together, it appeared they had likely hijacked the couple and their boat in order to make their way off Grenada. At the time of this video, they had not confessed to killing the couple, but it is likely that somewhere between Grenada and St. Vincent, Kathy and Ralph fought with the men. They fought for their lives and were likely thrown overboard. As a result, the couple, who was living their dreams, are tragically presumed dead. Their son spoke out about it all and expressed their shock and sadness at the situation. They took comfort, though, in knowing that their parents had very much enjoyed their time sailing, living their lives to the fullest. And that is something that many people never get the chance to do or don't have the courage to pull off. Hopefully they survived, but if not, rest in peace. So there were two of the strangest cases we have for you this week. I'm Andrew. I want to thank you for tuning in today. Y'all stay safe out there. I'll see you in the next one.